Welcome to a Bible message for today, teaching the Bible verse by verse, word by word. Coming to you from the Pentwater Bible Church, a non-denominational Christian church, it is our desire that these messages from the Word of God will draw you closer to God, and that you might experience true freedom in the truth of His Word. Here is Dr. Daniel Woodhead, pastor of the Pentwater Bible Church, with today's Bible message.
Welcome back. This is Daniel Woodhead. I'm your Bible teacher for this wonderful grand adventure in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we've gotten into the end of the book here, and we are looking at the New Jerusalem, the eternal city that is coming down from heaven. We call this the eternal order. And we looked at Abraham looking for this city in our last session from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 to 10. And following this eternal abode of all the regenerated, all the born-again people are described in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. And I'm going to read that for you. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the residents of this eternal city will be one, the entire triune God. Now remember, Jesus is going to be there, but his role as the Messiah will have been completed. The entire angelic host will be there. The church will be there. The spirits of just men made perfect. Now, these folks were justified by their faith, but they were made perfect by the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The tribulation saints will be there, and the millennial saints will be there. Now, as soon as the vision of the eternal order is given, a declaration from the one on the throne is given. That's from Revelation 21, verses 3 to 4. Now look what the Apostle John sees here. And he says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things have passed away." It's important to notice that first the dwelling place of God will be with all men. And that just affirms the text that is in Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24, that the New Jerusalem is going to be the eternal abode of God, angels, and redeemed humanity. You know, the Greek word that's translated as dwell actually means the tabernacle, and it refers to the Shekinah glory abiding with men as he once did in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Secondly, he affirms that the effects of the curse that we've seen going back to Genesis 3, verses 16 and 19 will be removed. Now, I'm going to read that text for you from Genesis 3. "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. When the fall of man came during the beginning of the old order, it caused a great number of the side effects in the development of the Adamic curse. Now, all of these side effects of the curse are of the old order, and that's going to be removed when that old order is gone. So the eternal order is not going to have any tears, any death, any crying, any pain. Now, the second declaration that comes from the throne is given in Revelation 21, verses 5 to 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that is the final death. There's an old saying, if you're saved, you're going to die the first death of the body, but you don't die the second death, which is going into the lake of fire. If you're unsaved, you die twice. If you're saved, you only die once. Now, this declaration from the throne of God concerns the works of God. One, there's an affirmation that the future creation of the eternal order is assured, because the one who makes the promise is both faithful and true. Now, there's a provision of the fountain of the waters of life here. And the passage refers to the inheritance of the believers, which is the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, which is described in the closing chapters of this book of Revelation. Now, there's a description of the inheritance of the unbeliever, which is the second death, the lake of fire, which we've discussed, Gehenna, the burning, burning lake of fire. That's where the people that are in hell now go. Now, the eternal order, the New Jerusalem, is the only section in all the scripture that contains any meaningful information about the New Jerusalem and the eternal order. It begins with an elaboration of the revelation in 21:2 regarding the establishment of New Jerusalem. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, the announcement to God to come up higher, come up hither here, again, as in Revelation 4:1. Remember the beginning when John was spiritized and he came up to heaven so that God can show him more future events to come. And he's told that he's about to be shown more concerning the bride of the Messiah, namely the eternal destiny of the bride, which is the New Jerusalem, which will come down from heaven to the newly created earth. Now, there's a description of this New Jerusalem. And after revealing the establishment of the city, this detailed description is given, and there's 11 characteristics here. One, the glory of the New Jerusalem is revealed in the 11th verse of the 21st chapter, where the text says, "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now the glory is that of the Shekinah glory, whose final destination will be the New Jerusalem. Two, a description of the city wall is given in verses 12 and 13. "And had a great wall, and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates." The city wall emphasizes its protection. The wall is said to be great and high, but no further details are given at this point because the city is just what we know, a total of 12 gates, and each will be given the authority of an angel. Now, the 12 gates will be named after the 12 tribes of Israel. Therefore, for all eternity, these Jewish names are going to be remembered. So the text also states that the Great Wall will have 4 sides with 3 gates on each side, and they're all going to be equally divided. And then the foundations, emphasizing permanence, will be totaling 12 and named after the 12 apostles for all eternity, forever. Revelation 21:14 says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." Now the measurements are recorded in Revelation 21:15-17, and the text there says, "And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and breadth and height of it are equal, and he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man," that is, of the angel. Now, this is going to be a very spacious city. The wall will be 4 square. In other words, it's going to be a cube with the 3 dimensions measuring about 1,500 miles each. Now, this is going to be the largest city that has ever been known to man, with plenty of room for all the redeemed folks of all humanity of all history. The wall is going to be about 216 feet high, and that will be a very high wall. Now, the composition of the city is described in Revelation 21, verses 18 to 21. The text there reads, "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophius, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of 1 pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass." Now the wall is going to be built of jasper, and the entire cube city will be made of transparent gold. As for the 12 foundations of the wall, each foundation is going to be composed of different precious stones, each with its own dominant color. I'm going to run through that list again and describe these colors for you. Here's how they're described. Jasper is green. Sapphire is blue. Chalcedony is greenish. Emerald is green. Sardonyx is red and white. Sardius is fiery red. Chrysolite is golden yellow. Beryl is an aqua green. Topaz is a greenish yellow. Chrysoprase is golden green. Jacinth is violet, and amethyst is purple. Now, the original earth, which was described in Ezekiel 28:13, had a total of 10 stones, and half of these stones are also characterized as the first earth before Satan's fall. That's also discussed in Ezekiel 28. The new earth will enjoy all the perfections of the first earth, plus two additional stones for a total of 12, regarding the 12 gates after the 12 tribes of Israel, because each one's going to be made of one giant pearl. The singular street of the city, like the city itself, is going to be composed of transparent gold, very, very thin, fine, fine, pure gold. Now, in addition to the absence of oceans in the new earth, several other things are going to be missing. And they're mentioned in Revelation 21, verses 22-24. Here, John says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Now, missing here is the temple. During all history, since about 900 B.C., there will have been four temples. There just doesn't have to be one there anymore in the eternal order. The entire triune God is going to be tabernacling directly with all the redeemed of all the ages. There's not going to be a sun, a moon, or a star there. There weren't in the original creation either. They came into being on the fourth day of creation, as we see in Genesis chapter 1. God himself will provide all the necessary light in the Shekinah glory of the Lamb. The Gentiles will walk in this light too, and there's going to be no distinction between Jews or Gentiles in the eternal order. The entrance is also described in Revelation 21, verses 25-27. What the text there reads, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night therein, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiled, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. So even though there's going to be 12 gates of pearl, attended by angels for all of eternity, they will never be closed. There will be no night or darkness in the eternal order. Darkness was another result of the curse on the earth after Satan's fall. So that won't be there. During the 6 days of creation, there was only a partial removal of the darkness, the sun by day, they saw the text in Genesis 1, and the night that existed, which is a limited light at night. No unrighteousness will enter the city, because it will be confined to the lake of fire. There won't be any righteousness available to go into the city. Now, the river of life is described. Now, remember, the seas are gone, but there will be a river. Revelation 22, verses 1-2a. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the midst of the street of it. Out of the throne room of God and the Messiah, a river will begin to flow with the brightness of crystal. It continues to flow throughout the singular street of the city of the New Jerusalem. The tree of life is described in Revelation 22b here, verse 22b. And on the either side of the river, There was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. The tree of life that existed in the Garden of Eden is now going to return. And the trunk of this tree is going to extend to both sides of the eternal river of life. And it's going to be characterized by productivity, bearing fresh fruit each month of the year. Since the word month is used, a dating system of some sort must be utilized. And it's going to be radically different in terms of a system of time than we have today. Because there's not going to be any sun, moon, or stars that our present dating system is based on. The eternal order will have no sickness. And the leaves of the tree of life will be used for healing the nation. So the Greek word for healing is actually therapeutic. These leaves, then, are going to be a source of perpetual health for the habitation of the eternal order. The occupants are described, verses 3 to 4, in the 22nd chapter. And the text there says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." So there's going to be a total absence of the curse in the eternal order. The residents, including the Lamb and all the redeemed, will have the name of Jesus on their foreheads. It is Jesus that provided all this. It was Jesus that did this for us. It is Jesus that we owe everything to. The presence of the Shekinah glory is reiterated in the fifth verse. And the text there reads, "And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." God forever will light the city and the redeemed from all ages. Moving on, Revelation 22, verses 6 to 9 say, "And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." So God himself, as well as Jesus, authenticates the book of Revelation. The spirit of the prophets inspired this prophecy. The book began with a blessing, and it ends the same way. Verses 8 to 9 say, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So the angel who gave the message to John also authenticates the book. Now the declarations come after that, verses 10 to 15. "Do not seal up the words of this prophecy." Verse 10, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Now, that's a vastly different message than Daniel got. And he recorded that in his 12th chapter, 4th verse. "But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end." And then chapter 12, verses 8 to 9 of Daniel, where he says, "And I heard, and I understood not. Then said I to my Lord, What shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now, the revelation given to Daniel was vastly complex, and he didn't understand it. He was just told to seal the book. But the book of Revelation clarifies that, because now is the time to open the book, to understand these things, to pay attention to them. Verse 11, "And he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. One who is unrighteous will confirm that by acting the way they do." The righteous will act in obedience towards God and accept the prophecy. the purpose of Messiah's coming is given in Revelation 22, verse 12, where he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." So the purpose of Jesus' return is to give each person according to his or her works. His coming at the rapture provides believers with their reward. The purpose of the second coming is to render judgment upon the unrighteous. Now, the next declaration emphasizes the eternality of Jesus. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." And the next declaration right after that concerns the people living in the New Jerusalem. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city." So they're going to be characterized by redemption. The fact that they are redeemed gives them authority to enter the eternal city. There they will partake of the tree of life. And that last declaration gives the characteristics of the unredeemed that can't enter the eternal city. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." In that place without or outside of the city is the lake of fire. That's where they are. Now, Jesus then affirms himself by himself that he will send the angel to John to reveal all the future of the earth. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." You know, the Holy Spirit then provides an invitation to salvation. Those who respond will partake of the waters of life in New Jerusalem. Here's what the text says in verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." It's the same invitation that God gave Noah to come into the ark. Come into the salvation. Come into the protection. Come into the love. Come into the security. And if not, then comes a warning. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy in this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." The first warning is regarding any and all additions. The second is against any and all subtractions. While it's true that the warnings are about the book of Revelation, the whole Bible is in view here. It's because the book of Revelation is a sum of all Scripture. Once the last apostle died, there could be no more Scripture written. We see that in the second to the third chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:11 to 3:12. You know, some who add are all the cults. The Mormons, the Christian Scientists, the Watchtower Society, and so on. And those who subtract are all those who don't accept the entire Scripture. They just cut out pieces of it, say they're not relevant. They will all be in the lake of fire. Now, the second affirmation that comes here, it says, "He which testifieth of these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus." Now, Messiah, our Christ, then reaffirms all that he said in the book. He will be returning to fulfill the prophecies in this book. God is not bound by the time domain like we are. So, quickly refers to the speed of the rapture from God's perspective. For a believer, this emphasizes imminency. He can come at any time. We should be ready. And the final verse says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen." God bless you. It's been an absolute pleasure, joy, and a privilege to bring this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ to you all.
To you listening, it is our prayer that this Bible study has been edifying and a blessing to you. Completely underwritten by the Pentwater Bible Church, we do not solicit your financial support, but would appreciate your call to the radio station you are listening and let them know if you'd like these messages to continue. Or you may call us at our toll-free number, 877-706-2479. That's 877-706-2479. We would be pleased to send you a complete set of notes of today's message at no cost. Simply call us with your request, leaving your name and address, and they'll be mailed to you. If you prefer, you may write us at P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. That address again is P.O. Box 384, Pentwater, Michigan, 49449. You're invited to join us as we study the Bible in our service each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at our temporary location in the Pentwater Room of the Comfort Inn, located at the intersection of Highway 31 at the Oceana exit. Be sure to listen next week as Dr. Woodhead presents another teaching message from the Bible, the Word of God.